I want to welcome you all to a new quarter here at Delrata. And you have approximately 2 minutes to realize that I am teaching this class and you can leave. So I won't feel bad. I won't cry about it. I'll wait till I get in the car and cry on the way home. But first, I'd like to express thanks from the Moody family for all the prayers and the cards, flowers, food, Facebook posts, direct messages, text, phone calls, and all the other acts of kindness that this church family has expressed to our family at the passing of my dad. You'll never know how deeply we appreciate what y'all have done for us and how it has impacted us. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Before we begin, we're going to have kind of a different way that we do. This is a class about prayer. So we're going to open with prayer. I know you're not surprised at that concept, but what we're going to do is I'll see if we can get some of the feedback here. But if you have a prayer request that you would like to have as a part of the class this morning, I happen to have a website called MikeMoody.com. I've had it for years. I do very little with it, but no one else will own the name MikeMoody.com except me. And on that website, I'm going to, as a matter of fact, I can show you that this is the site right here. It says Mike Moody, made you look. And on there is a prayer request form. Name is optional, email optional, but a prayer request is there on that form on MikeMoody.com, as well as, and don't get ahead of me too much now, as well as all of the notes that I'll be talking about and the graphic. The slides that I have are also listed on that site, so all of that will be available each week as we move forward. But do any of you have any requests that we can have as a part of our morning prayer this morning? I told John I wasn't going to wander, and I just wandered off of the podium center. Yes, ma'am. Wonderful. Okay. Terry's foot surgery was a success. A step in the right direction, if you will. Sorry. there will be intermittent puns thrown in here, so I don't want you to be shocked by the dad jokes that will come out of this, because I am a dad and these are my jokes. Well, let's go ahead and... yes. Oh, yes. The passing of Blois, of Brother Blois Clifton. Absolutely. We attended with them over at university, and Shannon, his son, and Karen, good friends of ours. I was actually texting with him yesterday about it, and he said that he had been in bad shape for a while, but as I understand, and as all of you understand, even if you expect it, it still hits you like a ton of bricks when it happens. All right. Oh, yes. So Jim Sandberg, oh my, all righty, okay, yes, Charles. Okay, all righty. Absolutely. That's right. That's right. The loss of... All right, let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another day that you've blessed us with and for another opportunity you've given us to come and freely worship you. We pray that the things that are said here will be printed on our hearts and change our lives so that we will be better Christians for having chosen to be here. At this time, we'd like to express our sympathy to Jennifer Cackleman and her family at the passing of her mother. We always know that that's a very difficult time and the healing that only you can give. We can support through prayers and through other means of support, but only you can truly comfort us during this time. So be with her. Also be with the family of Boyce Clifton at his passing. Give them that feeling of peace, that sense of peace that only you can give. Thank you for the successful surgery that Terry Phillips had, that her foot will continue to get better. Also, please be with Jim Sandberg as he has been taken to the emergency room. Hopefully that he will have a full recovery, the doctors will do what's needed to restore him to his full health, full measure of health. Also, Robert Helms, who had a stroke, please be with him, be with the doctors who are caring for them, be with his family who love him and want to support him and help us to be there for Charles and as we can. And also, please be with Brother Carl Taylor with upcoming major surgery. Be with him, give him that sense of peace that you are in control, and we know this, and let us submit to your will and the foregone conclusions that you have for our lives. Help us to not blame you, but just to understand the things that happen in our lives. At this time for our class, Lord, please clear our minds of the distractions of this world. Open our hearts to what you want us to learn. Give us the strength to remain true to your teachings. Make us humble servants of your will. And in everything we do, we give thanks for your sending of your Son so that we might be able to be rejoined with you in heaven if we'd only make that choice, that decision to follow you and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's talk about our class. The goals, just make sure that's working, the goals of our class. This is our introduction. And hopefully we can get through everything. I hope we will. But our goals of our class, to understand prayer and how it works in our lives. Too often, many aspects of our lives, our Christian lives, our material lives, our physical lives, they're a part of a motorized vehicle. We do them because of a repetition. You get up in the morning when you get dressed, you do the things on a repetitious nature, but you don't really think beyond them. I brushed my teeth this morning, so thank you. That's what I do. I do brush my teeth in the morning, every morning. But I don't think about it. I just know that it's a part of the routine that I do. I need to understand that there's more to it. There's a reason that I do that, and the dentist reminds me of that every 6 months. But prayer is the same way. Do we do that as a matter of repetition? When we yield to God's power and we let His power work in our life through prayer, we also understand that it goes deeper than that. It's not just the mechanical act of praying. It's what goes in it. The whole idea of the New Testament was taking the Old Testament was the sense of doing these physical acts as God commanded them, very specific, the way the high priest's robe was created, the way the sacrifices were done, all these were very specific outward expressions of our love for God. Now, we still have outward expressions, but now Jesus turned that on its ear. The New Testament tells us that it's not just the outward expression, it's the inward thought that we need to be concerned about. If you haven't killed someone, but you have anger, you have malice towards them, then you've killed them in your heart. You haven't committed adultery, but you've lusted after someone, so you committed adultery in your heart. So all these things are turned internally. Prayer is no different as the New Testament tells us, which we'll look into. But prayer is not just the act of praying. The one that I would say is the most common repetitious prayer is the one at mealtime. Sometimes that it's hard to put your mind into it because you're really thinking what comes after that prayer, the meal. But to understand that this prayer is meaningful, it needs to be taken in a reverent manner anytime we pray, anytime we approach the throne of God. So understand prayer and how it works in our lives to create a more meaningful and beneficial prayer life. And that is certainly something that we need to do, because when you say the power of prayer, what does that mean? Does that mean that prayer can turn that car over, can open those doors, this kind of thing? No, but it is the power, harnessing the power of God in our lives. Now, we don't have miracles today. We understand that clearly from the scriptures. But God uses providence, which we'll talk about in later lessons, but God uses providence to have that power come to bear on our behalf. Simply the concept of letting things happen randomly in front of us, we can certainly choose to do that. But without prayer, how can we have God's power harnessed in a non-miraculous sense in our lives? We'll discuss that to some degree, or at some length, actually. So we want to create a more meaningful life so that prayer is our go-to. We are prayerful. We are always in a prayerful manner, in a mindset. And third, to focus our prayer life and our ability to pray. So I've had people that would say, "How can I pray for you? Some event has happened. How can I pray for you?" And you would say, "I'm sick and I'd like to get better." And they say, "No. Specifically, as specific as you want to be, tell me how I can pray for you. What can I pray?" We could have said Terry had surgery and she's getting better, but we specifically mentioned her foot. Let's focus those prayers. Let's put them right down there where they need to be, so that people can understand that God can work meticulously on a certain area of our lives if we need Him to do that. Our class schedule for this time: we will open with prayer, as we have done, and I do encourage you, go to that website, go to mikemoody.com, and you can submit a prayer request. I do have copies of my outline for today in printed form up here, but I'm going to have pieces of paper so that you could put prayer requests and have a box down here so that you could put them in also. We'll open with prayer. We'll have the lesson, and I'm sorry, there's going to be homework. Sorry. Okay? There is going to be homework. There will be a test. There will be a test, but not on the earth. But you know what I'm talking about. All right. And the material is online at, boom, mikemoody.com. So, there you go. All right. Why do we pray? Well, first of all, it's kind of easy to see any jaunt into the scriptures. You can glean, one of my favorite Wendell Winkler words, glean what the Bible says, one of my favorite Bible teachers, you can understand that the Bible says that prayer is required for our benefit. It's actually commanded, we're told to pray, but I always like to use commanded is kind of that term, that pressing down, do it, this kind of thing, but it's for our benefit. If you look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." So these are, don't be anxious, but in everything, give prayer. Rules are set for us. When you drive, there are rules. There are the striping on the lanes, the turning signal, all of those things that are given, they are required for our benefit so that we don't hurt ourselves, so that we don't hurt others, and hopefully others don't hurt us. So these things are required for safety for our benefit. Raising children requires rules. Respect for authority, yes sir, yes ma'am, no sir, no ma'am. The chores that we give them, the ability to wake up on their own. I recall I was telling my boys when they were younger that I'm not going to wake you up. Like if you don't get up, I won't quite go as far as my dad did, because when us boys would not wake up on time, we got a little leeway. We got I don't even know if the snooze bar was invented, but we got kind of a mental snooze bar when we were told to get up. But the next wake up was Dad coming into the room with his belt, slapping the sheets that we were under on the bed. So he'd get out of bed, you know, I love you. It was a little bit. So you can imagine the adrenaline rush. You're instantly awake. You're not going back to sleep, you know. So we learned pretty quick. You don't want to hit that snooze bar when they tell you it's time to get up. Rules, the idea of doing homework, the being self-sustained, self-sufficient. Karen has done a great job teaching our boys cooking skills so that they will make a more enticing catch for some young lady someday. Well, Michael has caught his lady, so we're looking at Cole, you know, and saying, hey, if he can cook, he can do laundry, you know, he's a catch right there, you know. So, but we required him to learn some things for his benefit, for his future benefit. Next, prayer lets us have a relationship with God. I mean, just thinking of the concept of us having a relationship with God. When you look at our position, our fallible bodies, our fallible minds, our fallible spirits, that we make these choices, that we choose to do wrong, that we choose to stray away, and yet through all of that, God still wants to have a relationship with us. It's the being that created the universe wants to be your friend. He wants to be my friend. That's awe-inspiring to me. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That should give us such a profound amount of joy that God wants to be with us. He wants to hear our prayers. We have to make that step, but he is there waiting for us, wanting to be a part of our lives. When you love someone, you want to be with them. You want to communicate with them. You want to be in their lives all the time. Have you ever had a one-sided communication where you gave and gave and gave and got nothing in return? Imagine how, speaking specifically in our prayer life, our relationship with God on its basis form, if we are praying at all, most likely at a meal, our relationship with God is this. Thanks for the food. Thanks for the food. Thanks for the food. That's all he's hearing from us when we pray, when we feel like our prayers can only reside around meal times. We've got to understand that we need to go deeper. We've got to want to commune with him in this way, because this is how we talk to God. We talk to him through prayer. And let us not forget that, the importance of that in establishing of a communication with someone. The concept when I was a kid, before there was cable and the internet, there was a time before cable and the internet for the younger crowd. When actually I had a black and white TV, so I was dirt poor. No, we were, color TVs were a luxury, not a necessity, even in TV watching. When you turned the channel, I was actually the remote control. Channel 20. I'm going to go back to 32. Okay. That's, if you don't understand what I'm doing, please come afterward and I'll tell you about UHF versus VHF. Okay. When you love someone, you want to stay in communication, much like our son, Michael. He lives down in Mobile with his wife, Erin, and they're having a wonderful time as a young married couple. But when he calls us, when he sends us a text, I mean, I can tell you from one mom, it makes her whole day when her son contacts her in some way. When he'll call me about some techie thing or something, or he'll ask mom about something else. But it makes our day when he communicates, when he chooses to take time out of his life to communicate with us. Imagine that God's the same way. When we take time out of our lives to choose to communicate with him, I bet you it makes his day. It absolutely does, because he is our Heavenly Father. And when you don't talk to a parent, when you don't talk to a child, that void seems to grow and it becomes more and more awkward. Let's not make that awkward. Let's break that barrier down. Let's become a close child to our Heavenly Father and begin to communicate with him on a daily basis. Let's see. Don't worry about how you say it, the words you use. Let the Holy Spirit work for you. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Isn't it amazing that that God knows our hearts? He knows what we want to pray for, even if we're not sure what to pray for. The example that I was told many years ago, parent of a young child that came in and said, "Okay, it's time to pray." So she put her hands together, she knelt next to her bed, and she said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, a little bit slower, but she said the alphabet. And amen, Jesus' name, amen. So her dad said, I'm glad you know the alphabet, but why did you just rattle off the alphabet for your prayer? She said, I gave God the letters. He knows how to put them together for me. So he knows what I was wanting. I just wanted to make sure I gave him all the letters to work with. So he knows our hearts. He knows what we want, and that's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. It can take those senses, those feelings that we have when we're in that state of prayer, and put those together and help us send that message. We have where I work at Alpha. At the Farmers Federation, we have a communications department. Any message that comes from our president, one of the senior vice presidents, any message that's crafted from a marketing area, any of that, it needs to filter through our department, because we take those thoughts and possibly the grammar issues that they might have, and we correct those. We make those into something that's understandable, readable, AP compliant, Associated Press compliant, which is our big standard that we do. So everything we do is filtered through that way. This is what the Holy Spirit can do for us, is take those ideas that you can't even verbalize and help make those a part of our prayer that we send. And the next idea is persistence does pay off. Matthew 7:7-11. As it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. For which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So we we need to be persistent in our asking. I have one of my favorite personal stories happened many years ago with this ring. This is my dad's class ring, class of 56, University of Florida, which we won our game last week. In spite of trying to give the ball, the game away to Miami, we still won. They just wouldn't take it. But this is his class ring of 1956. He gave it to me when I graduated college, and I've kept up with it, except for one brief period where I lost it. And I have never prayed more fervently on a daily basis. Now, there was no, it wasn't for the material value of it. Obviously, it was for the symbolic value that I had, because this was my dad's class ring and he gave it to me. Well, I had lost it. I didn't know what had happened. Set that idea aside, and our dog became pregnant with puppies, was going to have puppies. Unrelated, perhaps, but our dog was going to have, our German Shepherd was going to have puppies from a wandering neighborhood scoundrel. And so the day was the day. I was going out, we checked, she was an outdoor dog, so we went and checked on her. I had prayed continuously about the ring. Did not think about it when my dog was having puppies. But as dogs do, they try to get in a dark spot, you know, a cool spot. And as it would have it, underneath the doghouse was that area, a big doghouse with this crawl-in space. And she decided that's where the puppies were going to be. So my job was to lay in there, pull those puppies out, hand them to Karen, who would towel them off so they wouldn't get, she wouldn't smother any of them. So she was, you know, we were in that process, and I happened to see something in the back, right underneath the front of the doghouse, which I was in the back of it, and it was just something, just glimmering just a bit, under in compacted soil under there. I kept digging at it after the process was done, and there it was. There was that ring. Miraculous? No. But providential? Absolutely. There are many more important examples in our life that we could use, but that one just always stood out with me. Something in the grand scheme of things, as insignificant as this ring is to the world and really to God as far as a material sense, but the value was immeasurable to me, and that was a truly answered prayer. The parable of the persistent widow. I love this story because this is the person that you avoid when you know, if you're in business. This is that cranky customer. We used to have a sporting goods business many years ago, and we knew who those customers were, the ones that were really going to nitpick it to death. But this was the parable of the persistent widow. Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he told them a parable this is Jesus speaking, effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over time? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. So this is Jesus telling us to don't give up on that. Don't give up on the idea of gaining spiritual wisdom, of being a better Christian daily. You've got to be persistent about things. It's not just a one and done. I prayed for it. I checked that box. I'm moving on with my life, but I can't. It hadn't happened, so I'm going to give up. The story or the idea of when you go into a new room, if you're visiting a church, no one speaks to you. You've gone the one time and no one speaks to you and said, that's an unfriendly church. But then you look back and say, well, how friendly was I? How many times did I go? I was trying to be that person. And to my surprise, another visitor showed up and asked me where their class was. And I said, I would love to help you, but this is my first time being here too. But being that friendly person repeatedly gives you the sense that people understand you're friendly. Being that persistent prayer will give God the sense that you really want this. You really want this. Now, will that answer be no? Possibly. Will he look at our lives? You know, people will say, man, I could use some money. I'm always broke. God, just please give me some money. I need some money to make my life better. But then looking at our own track record, how do we handle money? Is that the thing that is the thorn in our side that keeps us from being, you know, I don't know that I would do well as a rich person. I don't know that I could handle the pressure that's involved in having that kind of money. I mean, sure, it'd be nice to try, but would that actually help us? But being persistent, think about the things that are real, the things that in your life that you need as a Christian. We are Christians first. We're human beings second. But ask yourself, what are those things I need? What do I need to persistently be praying for on a daily basis? Next, let's look at when do we pray? When do we pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. Any takers? What does that mean? What does pray without ceasing mean? Should we be praying now? I mean, this very second? Should we be in continual prayer? Driving would be very interesting. Trying to hold down a job would be very interesting. Praying without ceasing. Any takers would like to enlighten us on this? Wait, I got two. They all were in line. I was pointing at both at you and then Brother John. That's right. He said, you do not cease brushing your teeth, yet you brush without ceasing, hopefully, or you don't have a lot of friends. John. Absolutely. John said an attitude. The attitude of prayer. You've got to really disconnect yourself from this idea that we are these mechanical beings that go from A to B to C to D and all this. We've got to continually move. I did see a hand right there, and then we'll get back there, and then over there, and then here. It's a habit of your life. It's something you do repetitively so that, you know, they say, what, to take 6 weeks to develop a habit? You've got to do it daily to make sure you do that. Josh Zipper.
Every day, all every moment, every life, every
All right. I will sum that up for my mom, who will be watching this on YouTube later, who heard 2 minutes of nothing that Josh was saying, that the dorm parent told him that she takes time out on a regular basis, the little moments of time that you're not doing anything, because God is always there, always willing to hear our prayers, and just makes those opportunities. That's a great idea. How much of your life is spent doing nothing? Idle, not driving, not working, not talking, not thinking, you know, just how much of your time is idle. Use that time. And also every gesture of your life points you to that prayerful life, that decision to. That's a great point. Thank you, Josh. Caleb. And we will look at that idea that rejoice always doesn't mean necessarily during the good times. During all times, it is rejoice, and it is the overall direction that we are going. We've told our boys this as far as movies and this kind of thing. What you put in your mind stays there in some sense. It becomes a part of your decision-making process. Who you surround yourself with, the people that you surround yourself, they will influence you. The idea of surrounding yourself with ne'er-do-wells and thinking that you can change them may may bear great fruit. It may also drag you down. So you need your army to go against the other army. But it is the idea that that everything that you do gives you that feel, that sense of praying without ceasing, apt to pray, ready to pray, because ask God to open a door and just start looking around, because that door is going to get open. And if you are willing to look for the door, if you're willing to go through that door and take advantage of what God has given you. So be careful. If you ask for it, He's going to give it to you. He's going to give you those opportunities, but you've got to take advantage of it. But as he also said, the idea of the direction you go, it also means who you surround yourself with, what you surround yourself with. The old computer term is GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. So be careful of that. Right. Prepare. What he was saying was sometimes it involves changing your habits, thinking positively that this is going to happen. I've listened to, back during the cassette tape, ancient media, they would have, my dad would get these in there. It was called Insight. And it was positive, or positive encouragement, self-help, building yourself up, becoming a leader, all these different cassette tapes that had these on there. But what they were saying is what we see in the Bible is that we have to change ourselves in order to change others. We've got to be the example, living that Christian life, being that example. It's not easy. This world is fraught with distraction. We'll talk about the briefly, if we get a chance to, the movie The War Room. One aspect of that movie was removing distractions from your life so that you can focus on what's around you. So obviously, I'm not focusing right now. Let's see, where are we at? I'm going backwards. Let's see, James. No, we are going backwards. We're right here. This is exactly. I thought you were pointing at the screen like I'd messed up. Yes, Brother Connor. Without. Oh, God has been there first. Gotcha. I'm tracking with you now. You would not want to go in a situation unless you had God on your side. Or where God can go anywhere. That, isn't that what I said? I thought I said that. You would not want to go where God would not want you to go? No. I'll tell you what. You write a poem about that and I will fully understand exactly what you're saying. I hit right over here. Continually aware of God. What you know what sin is? Sin is you took your eye off the ball. You stopped being aware that God was there. That's a great point. If we would just understand that God is there, even when we are faced with that, even when, and He gives us that way out, even when we're faced with that temptation, God is there. And being aware of that could probably cut down on quite a bit of what happens to us. Yes, and then Bob. Great point. Seeing every opportunity to pray is a way to sum that up. And a wonderful factoid about Stonewall Jackson that he prayed for every letter he sent. Great point. But yes, when you see that, it's kind of like the idea of being kind. One thing that I'm always proud to see in my own boys is we raise them to be courteous to people, to be kind to them, to open doors for people. When you're at that place, stop, open that door, help someone, you know, this kind of thing. And when we would see that, when I'd see that without prompting them to do that, it would make me so proud because I knew that they were not doing it because I told them. They were doing it because it was a part of how they saw the world. They saw the world as an opportunity to help this person, to be kind to this person. And prayer is exactly the same way. It's the glasses that we put on to say, this is how I see the world. I see the world as a Christian, and I see an opportunity to use prayer in this moment to make someone's life better, to help someone, to pick someone up. I cannot believe that I'm not like halfway through. But let's see. Let me see if I can do this one real quick. We should pray, of course, during all times. We must give thanks during the good times. James 1, 17 and 18, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow to shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. We are the best things that God has to offer the world. We are it. We are his first fruits. And so our example, our prayer life, our acts as Christians, these are, you know, we are the hands and feet of God. We are his emissaries to this world. And we've got to continue to make those examples, to be those best examples. Real quick, I had a boss who was, he was actually a member of the Baptist church, but he said, I loved, and this was so odd to me that, and I tried to talk to him a little bit, but he said, I love to hire members of the Church of Christ as employees. We had four on staff at that one time. And I said, why is that? He said, I don't know, just Church of Christ, they're just hard workers. They're, you know, and so, of course, that gave me a sense of pride in a good way that he would say that. And I tried to use that as a springboard, but it didn't always take. But anyway, let's see, how much time we have? Like 5 minutes? Like 1 minute? Like no minutes? We're done? Okay, thank you. I'm not ready for you yet. No, I'm kidding. Go on. All right, thank you so much. Again, the lesson, we may try to skim over the last part of this lesson. There's some good points that need to be made. I'm going to skip to, let's see, hold on. I'm going to skip real quick, and I should have, I know, it's a little late. Okay, I have this available on the website or someplace. I'm going to get to this, but this is a snippet, a teaser of your prayer chores for next week. I know it's over. Goodbye. Thank you.